Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Right then, thank you, Ricky Wynn, for this week coming on the podcast. I've been practicing all week, or for 2 weeks nearly, I have to say your name, mate, because I'm not too good with the R and the W. you've been Ricky Wynn, you've been Ricky Rins. but yeah, thanks for coming on, mate. I know you're not stuck for time, but you're holed up over in Austria ready for the World Championships. Thanks for coming on, mate. How are you doing?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm a big fan of you and the show, so I'm more than happy to chat to you about this. Yeah, I'm cooped up all day trying to put my feet up, and it's not easy when you're an absolute lunatic to sit down for a few hours, you know?
Yeah, from the outside looking in, I'm not a massive follower of people on Instagram. Yeah, I might follow loads of people, but you know what it's like. I don't see them all in my feed, but you crop up all the time, and I think it's more like your energy and your positivity, and yeah, you're quite like, from my point of view, you're quite raw with what you share. So that's why I thought, yeah, Ricky would be good to get on and have a chat with. I just use this as a personal kind of platform to make friends with people, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, like that, I appreciate that. And for me, it is very raw, because I don't think I've ever recorded something, sent it out to Instagram, and actually looked back on it before I sent it. I just send it, you know, whatever I say, I send it. That's it.
Yeah. Do you think that's a bit of an Irish thing from like my friends over in Ireland? I've got a few over there, and they just do it. Everything is like, let's do it and maybe think about it afterwards, if at all.
Yeah, I think it is, because no more than that. And it's like, when you hear yourself talk, you sound way worse than, well, actually, I sound pretty bad to everybody, but to myself, I even sound worse. So it's like, I ain't listening to this fella talking too long. So it's got to be quick. It's got to be fast. And it's whatever I'm trying to get home, I send it home as fast as I can, like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good, mate. So, right, let's get cracking with a bit of your running, because I know a bit about you, but I don't know too much. Let's rewind. I know you're out for the World Championships Trail and Mountain right now, but yeah, let me know how you got into it, mate. Was it from a young age, or was it later on in life and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so for me, it's later on in life, because right now I'm 40, so I'll actually be 41 in November. And I played football all my life until I was 32, I think. So, yeah, you had a certain level of fitness, you know. But like that, I was the same as any other lad that kicked the ball around the field. He went for a few pints at the weekend, and maybe a few too many pints at the weekend and all that stuff. And good crack while I was doing it. I was young, you know, that's part and parcel of it. But when I was 32, I just kind of got fed up of being like one of the fitter lads on the team that had to do all the work. And I was just like, look, I'm 32 now. I'm going to give something else a go, and I let the young lads step up, you know, that kind of way. So I decided I'd actually do some obstacle course racing, because that was pretty big at the time in Ireland and in England, I think. And I said I'd give that a go just for the fun, you know, just for the crack. Believe me, I take Everton pretty serious. Like, as in, if you and me are going head to head, I want to beat you, and I don't care what it's in. Like, if it's running football, knitting, I don't care. Like, you know, I want to beat you. And so I got pretty good at the obstacle course racing, and I won a lot of races. And what ended up happening was I got invited over to do Toughest Mother over in Nottingham. And that was a 12-hour run with 90 obstacles in a 5-mile loop. So you kept running loops and loops and loops. And actually, John Alban, who's actually here for Britain, he won that race, so he did. And me and my younger brother, because my younger brother was doing it too, we finished 10th and 11th, which was huge because there was like 3,000 people in it. But at the end of that race, Everyone was like, you're going to do this full-time now. Are you going to like try and, you know, make it in this game? And I was like, no way, man. The 12 hours of running, man, it was so much fun. I just thought this was the coolest thing I ever did in my life. And that was it. Like, I went from the odd 5K, 10K, then I signed up for an ultra, you know, and that was it. Probably the rest is history. Over the last 5 or 6 years, I've been lucky enough. I haven't had too many injuries, and I just built whatever, and now I'm here today, you know.
When you were, when you made that move from football over to mainly, like, running, I did the same, but I was about 24, 25. And like you say, you kind of get, you feel fit as a footballer, and then you start running, and all of a sudden it kind of, it shows that it's a completely different kind of fitness. So, like, what, did you have any structure in your training, or were you just going out and running out the door?
So I'm that guy that made all the mistakes, as in I didn't have a coach. I still don't have a coach, but I never knew how to train properly for a race. So the first ultra I signed up for, it was a flat ultra. It was a fast ultra. But I assumed that the way to get fast is just run fast, you know. So no matter how you feel, just run fast, blow the doors off. And I used to run every single day. I used to run 20K after work at like 4-minute kilometers every day, 7 days a week. That was it. And I got so many injuries. But I thought, yeah, it's normal. You're supposed to do this. Because I watch YouTube videos of Americans falling around the place. And that's obviously how you do it, you know. So I had like a lot of tendonitis issues and stuff like that. And then the more racing I did, the more knowledge I learned, I suppose, from other athletes, you know. And then I just picked up stuff. I did a bit of research and figured out, look, there's a better way to train, you know. So yeah, I definitely made a lot of mistakes along the way.
I think it's a good way of doing it, though, isn't it? Like, I'm 40 this year, so we're similar age, as in, like, when I was learning and trying to absorb everything about running, it wasn't on social media. There wasn't, like, Instagram and stuff. So the learning was from either other people or, like, forums or the odd magazine, or just going out there and fucking it up, basically, time after time, until you go, hang on a minute, like, let's read a book or something like that. So, like, anyone that comes into it now, it's not their fault, but if you've just got an endless stream of advice on Instagram, me included, giving it out, it's hard, isn't it? Because you're almost trying to skip those steps of finding out about your own body almost, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if I had a coach back then, and the reason I probably didn't have a coach is because I probably was too tight to pay for a coach, you know. I was like, nah, I'm not giving someone 50 euro a month to tell me to go running when I want to go running on my own, you know. So,
because the motivation was there, you didn't need that motivation.
Yeah. And like, if I had someone holding my hand and telling me what to do, yeah, I probably wouldn't have got those injuries. But, you know, I think I would have went down the road of having a lot of limits on what I could and couldn't do, you know. And I think, for me personally, I wouldn't have enjoyed that, I don't think, you know. That's just for me, like, you know.
Yeah, it's different. And again, like, when you started running, what, 8-9 years ago plus, online coaching wasn't really a thing, like, even I've like that kind of thing, really. There's the odd person doing it, but yeah, you're right. Now you don't, you mean, yeah,
yeah,
you can't move for it now, but
it's like like, exactly like that. It's like, even go back to before I started running, just when I was getting to run, I was on no social media, you know. I wasn't on it, but then over the last few years, I love watching, looking at your posts and when you say about coaches and then how do you know somebody's a coach? Because it's in their Instagram profile, you know. And they're a dime a dozen now, which they are. And believe me, I know there's some genuinely unbelievable coaches out there, you know. But man, there's a lot of spoofers out there too, you know.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's like, yeah, it's funny. Like, I mean, I can say this as a point of view as I'm a full-time coach, but like everyone's a coach where in fact it could be like they're working 40 hours for the council and then they're a coach on top. anyway, on that subject, what did you find? Because I know roughly the area that you live. What did you find that you loved about the trails and the mountains maybe compared to like just getting faster on the road? Because typically people would throw themselves into maybe 10K, half marathon, marathon, try and get faster at the marathon. It sounds like you've almost skipped that and gone straight to the trails.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Like, again, like I did dabble in like a few 5Ks and 10Ks and like I love running on the road and I love running fast. But, you know, as soon as I started, I just by looking at other videos and stuff like that that I would have seen maybe on YouTube or something like that, there was a draw to the hills and the trails, you know, that the road wasn't giving me, and it was like that just looks like so much fun, you know. And I know everyone says that, it's like everyone goes, oh, I love the mountains and I love this, mate. I'm like, honestly, I could tell you all the places in Ireland I've ran, but I wouldn't be able to tell you the names of the mountains because, you know, I'm not that mountain lover guy. I just love running. I just love running in that kind of a terrain, that kind of, and getting into that kind of a flow where it's just you're hammering up a hill or you're hammering down a hill. And I just think it's very, I know it's very freeing, you know. It's like there's no real restrictions. You're not having to look at your watch and be wondering about times and splits and giving out if you didn't hit a certain thing in your workout or something like that. It's a lot more fun than road running, you know. That's probably the simplest way I could put it, you know.
And I know recently there might be a bit of a change, which I'll ask you about later, but you're carpenter by trade, is that right? So you've got like a manual job and you have always had that. Like, this is something I find with either people that I coach or friends that have been in running for a long time. Do you find that it's almost a good thing having a trade and being on and having almost like a manual job with your running, or do you find that it holds you back a bit? Because like, from what I can tell, a lot of people are more resilient. They recover quite well because they've got this manual job.
Yeah. Like, I do have this conversation a lot, and I have, obviously I have pros and cons to it, right? And I always, sometimes I give out that, geez, man, my job is that much harder than everyone else's. And I'm having to, you know, every time I go for a run, I'm tired and I'm exhausted and this, that, and the other. But on the other side of it, like, I've done okay. Like, you know, as far as running in Ireland goes, I've done pretty well. Like, and everyone seems to know who I am. And when I turn up to a race, everyone is kind of going, oh, well, Ricky Wynn is here. He might win this race. And I think a lot of that stands to that. I'm tougher than most people because most people don't do what I do for a living. And in certain parts of the race, when the thing gets hard, I do always think about stuff like that. Go, mate, you ain't fucking swinging a hammer 10, 12 hours a day like me, you know. So you need to be very, very, very tough to beat me, you know. And that's just a mental thing, you know. But at the same time, I'd like the happier medium, like, and where this conversation might go is I think I'm nearly on to that, where I'll be doing a bit of this and a bit of that, and I'll have that happy medium, you know?
Yeah. There's like my dad was, worked in construction and everything. So I did a good few summers just on sites, just lugging stuff around and stuff. And it's like you say, like even the odd few summers that I did, they're some of the hardest kind of days of work I've ever had in my life. Like, obviously, I'm sat in an office. This is where I work now. But yeah, you're right. Whenever I think of people, whatever they're doing on site or whether it's manual labour work, and then they've got a train on top of that, I always instill in them, it's like, look, like you're working hard day to day. As long as you're sensible with your training, you'll have that. One, you've got that mental capacity. Two, you've got it's like you're doing strength and conditioning all day, every day. Like, it's you're designed to be manual. Don't worry about it. And yeah, like you say, it's just, it builds up that resilience. So like when you come to a race, yeah, you might have had some tired times and stuff, but probably nothing like you've had working solidly 12-hour days from week till end.
I do love when somebody does say to me, ah, yeah, but like it's great for you, you know, because you don't have to go to the gym. And I says, yeah, that's right. But when I do go to the gym, I don't go there for 12 hours, like, you know. But what I totally get, because like if you told me to sit in an office all day, every day, I couldn't do that either, you know. Like I, you know, and if you told me I had to do 3 sessions in a gym every week, I don't think I'd be able to do that either, because I don't like the whole atmosphere of a gym. I don't like being in the gym. I have a gym in my house, man. Like me and my wife have a gym in our house, and I've bought a treadmill for a lot of money, and if I've used it 5 times, like I can't use it. Like I can't be inside, you know.
I can get on a bike in the garage, but I can't get on a treadmill. It's just like, it's, yeah, I can't do it. So what was the first ultramarathon you did, and how did you get on it?
So the first one was it was a road ultra, and it was a 50k in like a forest, and it was loops. It was 5k loops, and I thought that'd be a good one to start with, because I can crew myself. You just put a table down and you just have all your gear on a table, so whatever you need. And I ended up coming second in that race, not having a clue what I was doing. And I ran that in like a very average time. Like I ran 50k in about 3:58, you know. So it was a decent time, but it was nothing to write home about. But at the same time, like, I was thinking, I just came second in my first ultra. I'm one of the best runners in the world right now. You know, the way you just get carried away.
When you did that 50k and finished second, was the overall feeling you were happy with it, or were you far away from first, or were you chomping at the bit to go and win a race?
Well, my IT band got sore after it, because I wrecked myself in the training, because I was running fast every single day. You know, I kind of was in a bad way for a few weeks, but yeah, I was definitely.
What have you got today, Ricky? Just an hour at 4 minute K's. What have you got tomorrow? Just
because
an hour.
That was the race pace I was trying to do. Like, you know, so I thought I just want to train at that every day for a couple of weeks. Like, you know, but when I was finished, I was definitely hooked. Like I was going, I got to do something. And then the next race I signed up for was the Maxi race in France. Yeah, so it was the Maxi race in Annecy in France. That was the first proper mountain ultra I did. And that was...
I've done that one. It's really good, isn't it?
85K, 5,500 meters of time. And my two brothers do this too. Like, so the three of us did it together, you know?
What do they think about how far you're taking it now, kind of thing? Because they must be pretty decent. I'm assuming.
But like, they're good runners. Like, you know, the only difference between me and them, I think, is that they've got a couple of kids. Like my older brother, he's got 3 kids, and my younger brother's got 2 kids. And I don't know. I think you throw. They both, like, you know, they both had manual labor jobs as well and stuff like that. And you throw kids into that mix, training gets hit. Now, in fairness, my younger brother, he's actually still very, very strong, still manages to put in some good training. And he actually finished 4th behind me in the Oslo Eco Trail only a couple of weeks ago, you know. So he's solid. Like, so if I slip up at all, he's coming for me, you know.
Christmas, is that competitive?
Nah, in fairness, we're pretty good, like, because we don't get to do stuff together that often, so anytime we get to train together is good times. Like,
that's good, mate. It must be nice having your brothers part of running as well, because like when you're going out there now, you're representing Ireland. It's like they're right behind you, I imagine.
Like, they're both texting me all day today and stuff like that, and they're as excited as I am, so that's very cool. Like,
you'd have preferred football, I imagine, but
I would have said football was always number one, but since I started this, I'm a runner, I can't even remember hardly playing football, you know, that kind of way. It consumes you, like, it totally consumes you.
Like, I used to play. I used to train football 3 times a week, have 2 games on the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, all the way up to like age 24, 25. And like you said now, I've got a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old. They're just going to football and stuff now. I can't remember how to kick a ball. I can't even, I mean, I think I can, but my coordination, it's just, it's like I never really played kind of thing, even though I still love watching football, big supporter. But yeah, once you've been in running for, I've been in running now longer than I ever was in football.
I used to be able to do 1,000 keepy uppies. I can't do 6 now. I can't do 6. Because there was kids out here, little Austrian kids or German kids out here the other day, and I said, yeah, pass over that ball, and I made a show of myself. Yeah,
hamstrings like, oh, gone.
Man, that was really bad. I was thinking, yeah, I'm going to go over here now and show these kids how good I was when I played football. And it's like, no, them days are long gone, man.
Yeah, I don't mind that though. I've still got the odd mate that still plays like Sunday League or like Veterans League, and they're in their 40s. And I'm like, fucking hell, give it a rest, lads. One thing I wanted to ask you about, mate, is like, because this is in your Instagram story, so I hope you don't, hope you don't mind me asking, but it's like you're listed as like 5'2" runner. Yeah. Is that like a conscious decision? Because like, I'm only 5'8" for a start, so I'm not. But is that a conscious decision just to put out to people, like, or like to show people? Honestly, what is that about?
I think it's a bit of crack, like, you know, because if you were to go through my stories today, you'll see that a friend of mine that's here with me today, Gavin Byrne is the name, his last post that he put up was me on a bench, and above my head is just little Ricky, you know what I mean? So it's, you know, it's pretty obvious that I'm little Ricky, do you know what I mean? So the 5'2", I suppose it's like, it's a couple of things. It's like, it's a bit of crack, right? 5'2".
Yeah.
And then it's also something that, I'm 5'2", but, you know what I mean? Look what I can do, you know? So there is definitely that. And that's totally part of my mindset as well. It's like, I'm 5'2", I weigh 53 kilo, but man, I will run over you if you're in my way, like that kind of way, you know?
And did you get any kind of shit for that when you were younger? And now it's a bit like, because if you met half of the people when you were younger, I imagine you're doing a lot better fitness wise.
Yeah.
That's what I always think anyway. Because I was like, I was the small, skinny kid.
Now you're the big, skinny kid.
I wasn't 5'. Well, now I'm still the skinny kid, but everyone else is overweight, it's all right.
No, in fairness, for me, small town, man, everyone knows you. And in fairness, I never, ever, I was always the popular kid in school, you know, I just was. There was never anyone taking a piss out of me. Maybe if I went to another town.
I can tell, like, your personality will take you over
maybe
that.
Maybe if I went to another town or I was in big groups of people that didn't know who I was when I was young. Yeah, you might have got an odd jibe here and there. But honestly, because of football, because of sport, like stuff like that, when you put work in and you get good at stuff, it bulletproofs you, you know, and you could have the,
it's a leveler, isn't it?
When I played football, they always put a big man on me, right? Always did, because they just thought, we'd put the big man on him. 2 minutes after the big man on me, there was a small lad on me, but that small lad was about 5'8". I used to look at that 5'8" lad like he was small, and I used to laugh at him, thinking he was small. Because I was so used to the big lad coming over, I'd roast him, and then the small lad would be on me, and I'd go, man, I'm going to roast this little fella. You know, so it's amazing what it does to your mindset.
What position?
Like when you're good at sport, you know?
I was quite similar in like, because I was 5'8", so I was that 5'8" guy, but I would always want to go up against the bigger person, like whether I was 19, 20 playing in a man, I know it's still technically I was a man, but I was a boy in a man's league kind of thing. And like, I always had like probably a little bit of red mist over me. I'd either want to go, because I was usually like either a right back or a right midfielder, and I'd be trying to get as stuck in as I could, almost too much to kind of overprove something to a certain extent. But like you say, the odd time I would come a cropper because he would be a big guy and he'd also be a solid guy as well. But 9 times out of 10, you would get the better of them in a different kind of way. Is that how you found it?
And that was it. It was like, even we'd say, people ask me about my running and my fitness, and I actually put that down to because of my height when I was playing football. Because when I was playing football, I was the smallest man on the field, right? Apart from my younger brother, who's actually smaller than me. So we were the two smallest guys on the field. And when you're the smallest guy in the field, this is Gaelic football now, not soccer, right? We both played soccer, we both played Gaelic.
Yeah,
in Gaelic, if you're a small person, man, you need to move. If you don't move, you never get the ball, you know?
Yeah.
And you never get anything. All you do is sit on the bench. That's where you sit if you don't get the ball. So I realized from very young that I have to be fitter than everyone else, because I can't stand still for 2 seconds. So that was always in me, that I was maybe running, like most lads would train twice a week, a game on a Sunday. I was probably training 5 days a week, you know, and then game on a Sunday, because I realized I have to be fitter than these guys. So it used to end up then that somebody would be marking me, and then I'd run through him, and then a fresh guy would be on you. So I'd have to run through him, you know. So you had to be that bit fitter. And then that passed on. I'm guessing it passed on to giving me a pretty solid base. Because once I started running, it didn't take me long to get decent at it.
It's interesting, mate. I always like listening to people's backgrounds, especially when they came into running a little bit later. Like, obviously, it's amazing when someone's done cross-country at school and they were a natural talent, but... those stories before running is always interesting. When did you kind of feel like you were gonna, or have you ever felt like you were gonna push this on to, like, now? Like, I listened to your stories over the last week or two, and you're just buzzing for this world championship. You sound grateful about the opportunities and all that kind of thing. But was it a goal 5 years ago to represent Ireland at the World Mountain Championships, or have you just worked at getting better and better and better, and whatever comes.
We'd say the first year and maybe the second year, it was all about just seeing how much better I can get and can I compete against some of the good lads. Because, like, to be honest, some of the lads that are here on this team now, even though I'm older than a lot of them, to me, I look up to them, because they're some of the reasons why I got into this sport in the first place. And there was a long time where I wasn't even competing with them. But I kept saying to myself, you know, if you just keep working and keep putting in the work, you'll get there, you know. So yes, I am 100% grateful and delighted and honoured and proud to be wearing this green top right now, right, for Ireland and here at the World Champs. But, like, I wanted to be here, you know, like, and I said, if I keep doing what I'm doing, I'll get there, you know. So that way, like, yeah, I have the crack and I love having the crack. And when I'm here as well, I'm messing around the whole time and everyone thinks, this lad just takes the piss. Does he take anything serious? But honestly, like, I take this very serious. And I really want to be good at this sport, you know. And I'm rocking up into the World Champs this weekend too. And I'm looking at all these pros and I'm saying, you don't fucking swing a hammer, you know. So I'm coming for you too, like.
It's not in your kit, is it?
Don't tell
this hammer.
Don't tell anyone.
So, right, tell me more about the, like, the race that's happening. Is it tomorrow or is it Saturday? Tell me about the race.
The race is tomorrow morning at 6:30, and it starts in Innsbruck, and it comes all the way, traverses all the way across the mountains to a place called Neusfist or something like that, which is only a couple of K from here. I can't pronounce the name properly, but it's 85 kilometers. I think it's actually about 87 now, because there was a few route changes, and there's 6,500 meters of climbing.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
And there's 68 countries representing, there's 68 nations in the World Championships this year. So there, I don't know, I think there's going to be maybe 400 in our race between men and women, something like that. So yeah, it's going to be savage. It's going to be unreal. Like,
have you done a race that has got similar like elevation and kind of course profile?
I think this could be very similar to Lavaredo. I think something similar to that. I know Lavaredo Ultra Trail is 120 kilometers, but I think it'll be something similar because the mountains are that bit more rugged than they are in Chamonix. I've done CCC, which is 101 kilometers, depending on how you do it, with 6,000 meters of climbing. I've done the maxi race, 85 kilometers, 5,500. But I think this is a lot harder than the maxi race, just going by the mountains and the terrain and the steepness of the
terrain, right,
of the mountains as well. So, but like that.
Well, how much do you think the wet weather today will affect it?
Maybe down low in some of them sections it'll be slippy, all right, but nothing major because I don't know. It's the mountain seems to be pretty dry. Everyone that did the 50K today was saying that conditions were good. You know, there was a couple of slippy spots in it, but nothing major. You know.
Yeah, what is the goal for the race, mate? Is it just to put it all out there? Have you got, obviously it's hard to kind of gauge yourself being in the champs like this for the first time and things like that, but what do you want to come away from the race with, if anything?
Again, this is a hard question to answer because I'm trying to answer it myself all day in my own head, you know, all week in my own head.
Yeah.
And it's you try and find out what the winning time is going to be, you know, because you have the likes of Zach Miller here, you have the best of the best here, and you try and gauge how fast they're going to do it, and then you try and work out a time difference percentage wise what you could be off them. And again, it's a team sport, so there's going to be four lads running, three lads get points, so you have to make sure that you're finishing as high up as you can, you know. And obviously it's a team sport, but you still want to be, you know, it's a race, so we're not going to be holding hands or anything like that. We're going to be racing each other. And I don't know. I want to leave it all out there and have no regrets because I might never get a green jersey again. So I just want to put on a really good show and be proud at the end of the day, you know, and hopefully that puts me in a good position. I can't say where, but you know, whatever I can get, I'll take it. Like
you say, The fact that it's a team, these ones are always like a team involved, it gives it that extra bit of dimension, doesn't it? So if, like, I always think, and by watching it as well, it gives you an extra motivation. Not that you probably, or anyone there needs that motivation, but even if you're dropping back or you're having a shit like 20 minutes, it's like, well, I need to get this one place back or two place back, and then that can kick you on further, I imagine. So it's nice dynamics as well.
Because we've been out here for a few days, and I know all the lads, you know, I know all the lads have been running with because we race each other so much. But this time we get to actually try and work together, you know, and pull each other along. And there's a good bond. There seems to be a good bond between the other three lads and myself. And we just have the crack and whatnot. And we're all very supportive of each other. So, you know, I think it's going to be a good day for all of us, you know, because the other three lads are very strong. And
how much do you want to beat someone UK? That'd be a nice one to do.
It's funny, like I was, I don't know how I can get away with saying this, but we'd say I met Harry Jones the other day, you know, and Harry's a really nice guy. But to me, Harry's like, I'm a fan, right? I'm a big fan of Harry Jones. And again, it's that whole thing. Yeah. I'm older than him and he's younger than me, but it doesn't matter. It's like, there's a professional footballer, you know, I want to go and say hello to him, same thing. And I went up, shook his hand and da-da-da, whatever, had a chat with him. And George Foster's there as well, another UK athlete. And I'm looking at them and they don't know who Ricky Wynn is. And I'm just thinking, man, I'd like that scalp. I'd like either one of those, you know. So that's always in the back of your head too.
George is good crack as well. He's good crack to go along with as well.
I love George's Instagram. Like, I never met George properly, but like I've sent him a few messages here and there, asked a few questions, and he's really good at answering them and all that. But I love when, you know, those stupid messages, you put up a post and then someone would say, wow, what a picture. Let's collab. Let's do this. George always replies.
He likes replying, doesn't he?
I think it's hilarious. Like, it's so witty, you know?
He's the odd time just after Christmas he was staying locally and I took him out for a local run here, and he's I've seen him run a few times now. He's one of the most, like, he just naturally looks like a runner when he's running.
Yeah,
like a really nice flow to it. Like, I'm gonna have to stop talking about him. I think he's had a mention in the last three in the last three podcasts, but it's like for you it must be amazing, because like you say, Harry, George, that, like, we know the UK team and everything. Yeah. You're going to be competing against them, so.
Yeah, even like,
yeah, I hope it goes well, mate.
That's what I love about this sport, right? It's like, I met Max King the other day. Went up, shook his hand, got a selfie with him, and flat out talking to him for about 10 minutes, and a real nice guy, and he's talking to me. But, like, the cool thing about this sport is you get to play football, right? I know it's not football, but it's like you get to play football with Cristiano Ronaldo. You're allowed to play football with him, like. You're allowed on the same field as him and go toe-to-toe with him, and he might kick the crap out of you, but you get to have a go. Like, you know, there's very few sports where you're able to do that. Like, you know, you can't do that in track and field. Like, you can't run with Mo Farah. Like, that's not going to happen. Like.
No. You've earned it, though, mate. You've all earned it to be there. So, and I know that's not going to be your mindset. You're not going to be in awe of anyone, but you want the scalp, you've still earned it to be there. Tell me more about the, I enjoyed the Maurice Mullins race. Yeah. So I've been over to it, and was that the qualifier this year? And tell me, I want to know more about how did you pick it as a race to qualify, or was that the goal, or was it just because you like the Maurice Mullins and the Wicklow way and all that kind of stuff?
That was the qualifying race, so you had to. That was the selection criteria for the team, was a top four finish, but you had to finish under a certain time. So it was 82 kilometers, I think, with 3,500 meters of climbing, and you needed to run it in sub 7 hours 15 minutes. So that was it. So the goal was run in 7 hours 14 minutes and 59 seconds. That was the goal, you know. So, and make sure you're in the top four. So, I found out that was going to be the qualifying race. So I think I found out about that in January, and I just went to work then, and I didn't do any other races up until that, and that was all my eggs were in that basket. Yeah.
Do you race quite often, usually, up until this point? Will you be like racing every couple of months or whatever, just because you love racing and you change tack for this race? Or do you usually pick a goal race and
when I first started, I raced a lot because I just was new and it was fun. But then I realised, look, I'm pretty good at the long stuff. And if, like, I kind of say anywhere from 50K to 100K, maybe 120K, I'm pretty good. But if you're going to be racing them, then you need to be very smart and you need to pick the ones that suit you. And you need to do it. I see, the thing for me is I love racing, but I also love a good training block. Like, I love a big block of training, like a 12, 14, 16 week block of training. Mm. Like, people think, oh, would you not go mad? Would you not miss racing? And I don't. I actually love seeing a big training block go up, and I love seeing a very straight line on Strava. I just love it. Like, I'm almost addicted to seeing that.
Yeah.
Like, that straight line across the top, where it's just week after week, you're hitting the same numbers, you know, you're getting the big workouts in, and then at the end, when you start to taper, you actually, not that you ever feel fit, but you're looking at that and you're going, I've got to be in good shape, you know?
Yeah, that's your evidence, isn't it? Like people talk about confidence, but that comes from the evidence of training. And when you can do that, and Strava makes it easy, like you say, but that is your evidence there, and that gives you the confidence. When you've got a graph that looks up and down for the past 12 weeks, yeah, it's no wonder that you're not as confident going into the race. So,
and I kind of need that. Like, if I thought I wasn't getting that training in, if it was a bit up and down and a bit broken, I don't think I'd be as sure come race day. I definitely wouldn't, yeah.
Mm. Where did you finish, and what was the finishing time?
Yeah, I finished first, and I did it in 7 hours 56 minutes. So, yeah, it was great. Like, it was well inside, and it was 6 hours 56 minutes.
6
sorry,
hours
sorry,
56.
We chose
to go under 7 hours.
Honestly, I didn't think I'd go under 7. Like, there was a few lads, like one of the lads that I was racing against, he even said it to me before the start. Like, Gavin said it to me. He said, you probably go under 7. And I was thinking, oh, jeez, I don't know. Like, I had a pace in my mind to stick to the whole day, because I had wrecked that route so often. You know, it's like, it's a 2.5-hour drive away from me, but I would wreck it nearly every weekend for 7 or 8 weeks in a row. So I knew every inch of it. So I knew what average pace I could hold for the whole thing, you know, and hope that then on race day it would work. But I managed to, like, shave a few seconds off here and there on a few kilometers, and I ended up, I was thinking maybe 7:05, something like that, but I ended up pulling it back to 6:56. But maybe that was just adrenaline, excitement, and realizing you were pulling away, and fear is a great thing, because when you look back, you think you see someone coming, and you put the shoe down, you know.
How far out from the finish did you know that you were going to do it? Because I've ran that race and the wheels fell off. it wasn't that far to go, and it ended up being horrendous. So how far out could you hold your excitement in?
You had to, because they had to get more elevation, and you had to go up Joust twice. So you had to go across Joust on the way out and go up Joust on the way back. And when we went up Joust on the way back, that's when I knew I have it. I think I have it, you know, because from there, it's a pretty much downhill. Yeah. It's a couple of K and you're finished. And from there, I kind of knew it, you know. And yeah, I didn't start laughing, smiling and jumping around until the last couple of 100 meters, but I felt I had it there and then, you know.
Did you celebrate Johnny Fox's? Is that right?
No. I was actually down in Greystones. I went down to Greystones, had a couple of pints with a few lads. I had 4 pints. I nearly fell into the pints, you know.
Yeah, good on you, mate. I won't keep you too much longer, but what does a typical week look like? On top, obviously, you got your working week, but what does your training week look like? Is it high volume or is it specific sessions?
Yeah, for me, both? Because of my job, I don't think I can hit the sessions. If I obsessed about the sessions all the time, I wouldn't hit them, you know, and if I didn't hit them, I probably wouldn't enjoy them. So most of my running is like, I do a lot of like progression runs. So Monday's probably easy, and Tuesday's a progression run. Wednesday's easy. Thursday's a progression run. Friday's easy. Then Saturday and Sunday. So I kind of make my long run on a Saturday I put a lot of like tempo hill work in. So I'd be like 5 minutes off, a minute on, 5 minutes off, 5 minutes on. And I think for ultra run and stuff like that works really well, because it's more real world. It's more what you're actually doing in a race, where you're pushing hard for 5 minutes, and then you can maybe have a descent where you can take it easy or something like that. So I do a lot of that, and then I probably back it up with another.
It's not.
Yeah, and then I do a lot of like where I do something like that, and then the next day I'll have a pretty hard effort the next day after that as well, because I think that's good to do as well, you know. But it all depends. Mm. Like, honestly, it all depends on the working week. It's like what I say, it's like people say you don't have a coach, and I said I don't think I could have a coach. I think I'm uncoachable. Like, there'd be days where I'd be working where I could be 16 hours swinging out over a solar panel on a roof, and then I go and run 20k. like, I can't run that 20k, you know, with 5 by 1k in the middle of it, you know. So I might just do that 20k and bank bank miles and volume. And I think volume works really well for me. And I seem to have found a sweet spot where I used to try and do 100 mile weeks. Didn't work. I got injured all the time. So I found that sweet spot where 120K a week and maybe 3,000, 3,500 meters of climbing. Mm. Depending on if I was training for something specific, I might up the volume or maybe up the speed work. But about 120 kilometers a week, 3,500 meters of climbing. And I never get a niggle. I never even get a sore toe, you know. So I seem to have found that sweet spot where I can go to work and I can train and I can enjoy it all. Like,
yeah, good stuff. So let's touch on, like, if you're okay to speak about it, like how things might change in future. Because I only know from looking at your stories and stuff, and you went out to Chamonix recently and stuff. So tell me about, like, that opportunity and what might be going on.
It's nothing groundbreaking. It's just there's a guy, I'm part of, like, the Hoka Racer team, and there's a guy I met over the last few years who's got a brand management company. And he deals with Koros, Hoka, and a couple other companies like Mammut and stuff like that. And he just reached out to me a few months ago and asked me if I'd be interested in working for him and maybe do 2 days a week. Because, again, it's just him being a real sound fella. He sees what I'm doing. He likes what I'm doing. And he's saying, it'd be great if you could do this and maybe do this and you'd have more time to train. It'd be a bit more flexible. So I'm going to be a sort of a main agent for Compressport and Koros in the south of Ireland, and as well I'll be selling like stuff like Saysky and Hoka as well in the south of Ireland as well. So I was over in Chamonix for the launch of Compressport, and then we'll be working with other little companies like you wear their hats as well, Vaga. So hopefully I'll be working with Vaga as well and bringing them to Ireland as well, and that'll be it, where I'll be doing 2 days a week for now with this company and 2 days a week doing what I do, and then that'll be the happy balance. And then maybe down the road it'll be 3 days, 4 days, it could be a permanent gig. So it's very early days, but I'm excited about it. Like, yeah,
no, it's exciting, that, mate. And it gives you a bit of a, whether it's a bit more flexibility or it just allows you to be, because obviously to be doing what you do for so long, you either love it or you love what it can provide for you, that kind of thing, I always say, kind of thing. Yeah, so like I guess it would feel very weird if you just dropped tools and then went into this whole new world. So it's probably a great way for you just to immerse yourself a bit more in running and something exciting, and it's without, like, too much pressure,
you know,
I imagine.
Because they're taking a chance on the likes of me as well. Yeah, I can talk lots of crap and all that stuff. But, I mean, school-wise, I wasn't very good in school. That's no lie. So, we'd say...
No, was I. Well, mate, I don't pay for my Koros. I work with Koros, and I'm sure you could sell me a Koros.
So I take my hat off to the lads for giving me that chance, you know, but at the same time, they must see something in me that I can talk the talk, and I can, you know, and I love tech. I do love tech, and I love gear, and I love all that stuff. So, and it's a way out as well. It's like, okay, right now I'm still fit and healthy, and I can pick up the hammer, right? But every day I run, I seem to be getting lighter and lighter, and stuff's getting heavier and heavier, and I don't want to be doing this when I'm 50 or 60. I want to be running when I'm 50 or 60, but I don't want to be picking up the hammer and banging in nails when I'm 50 and 60. So this is definitely another door open, and I'd always say, if someone opens a door for me and I get my toe in it, I'm going to kick the door. Yeah,
that's a good attitude, mate. And you can tell, like I know, I 100% know why they've had a conversation with you. And I don't know why more brands or small companies don't do that kind of thing. If they see someone like yourself, like, your Instagram is just, you can tell that you love the running, bottom line, right? There's lots of people that will put out running content that I can see that they're not 100% in running. It's just like what they post on their Instagram maybe, yeah? But I know for a fact that if, just from watching you and speaking to you, that when you're not on your Instagram, which isn't all the time, you still, it's just running kind of thing, yeah? You're immersed in it.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, my wife mightn't agree involved in it there. Now. She mightn't think that's a great thing now, but when you're planning your holiday, all you're doing is planning training weeks. So, yeah. Oh, that'd be a great place to train, wouldn't it, babe?
Yeah. Well, your list of jobs at home might increase now that you... I know we're all over the place. Like, this race tomorrow, obviously, massive race, and, yeah, I'm sure it's going to go well. What's going to be after this, mate? What plans have you got, racing-wise or training-wise? Are you someone that takes some time out after a race like this?
I actually have a great summer ahead because I'm going back to do the CCC this year again. And I just, again, I saw an opportunity that worked out well between the two jobs. And this is in advance. I was able to take a month off. So I'm taking the month of August off and I'm going to Chamonix to sleep in a tent and train there, you know, and live the pro life, but out of a tent and have the crack, you know. And there's a friend of mine coming over and we're going to run the Tour de Mont Blanc just in training. And then then my wife comes over and she's going to help crew me at the race. So that's the next big one for me is CCC. So once this is done, I'll take a bit of time. Yeah, I might take like a week or two off, but I'll be straight back on the bike or I'll be back running, depending on how I feel after it, you know. Like, I'd like to tell you today that I'll be so broken after this race because that I'll need 2 or 3 weeks off. But, you know, that's if I do this race right, that's what I need. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you always want, isn't it? You almost, it's weird. You almost crave to feel like that after a race because you know you've done a good job. Like, I've had races where they've gone crap and you're like up and running within 2 days kind of thing. And it's like, and that's a good sign that things didn't go well. And I almost like that feeling afterwards where you're completely broken and you know you've done a good job, which is weird because, like, you have those times where you're just, like, nosediving in energy and you're eating all kinds of stuff and it's not a great place to be, but exactly, that's what you want to feel like after a race. CCC, I've had a look on your DUV, so I know, but how did you get on last time?
And like, I finished inside the top 100 in that. And like, for me, that was nowhere near good enough, you know. It just wasn't. I was my roommate there is just after coming in, heard what I said. He says it was shite. So
well, I looked on your results and it was like second, third, first, second, first, and then it was like 90 something for CCC. Exactly. I was like, he's going to want to do better.
In my head, I was hoping for a top 50. And yeah, that's kind of where I was at. But it's such a bad day with the altitude. It kicked the shit out of me. And all I could do for 70 kilometers was drink Coke. That's all I could do was sip on Coke. And I couldn't even really hold that down. My legs felt fine. I was able to run. But just there was very little energy, you know, and I was like, yeah. So that's why I said this year I want to do it. Like, who knows? I could still finish just inside the top 100. But at least this time I'll know I gave it everything I have, you know. So I want to leave no stone unturned in it.
Getting out there early gives you that opportunity, though, doesn't it? If you know that altitude affects you, then, those few weeks will be massive for you. And like you say, you don't have to even hammer training in that time. It's just being out there.
Just like anything, it's like if you can do, like I always advise everyone, if you're doing a local race, make sure and recce it. Like, you know, if it's a three-hour drive, go and recce it. It's only a three-hour drive, you know, because it'll really stand to you on race day. Yeah. And if I could recce every race, I would, but unfortunately, these races abroad are expensive and you can't afford to go over to Chamonix for a few days running around the Alps, like, you know, as much as I'd love to. But this time I can, you know, so I'm going to make the most of it this time. And I'm going to love it because there's nowhere else I'd rather be, like, yeah.
Yeah. What would suit you is that Ultra Trail Snowdonia that's near me, the 100K in that.
Yeah.
I think, like, from the races that you do and like you do well on technical ground, mate, you'd love that one.
Well, my roommate here, he's gone now, but Gavin, he came third in UTS 100K last year. He's solid. He's a very good athlete. And he could have got me He got me like an entry into this year's race, but just because of this race, I was like, I'm not doing it. You know, I'm not doing that race. So I did Oslo Eco Trail instead. But definitely UTS is a race I want to do.
Brilliant. Right then, mate.
Yeah.
One last question. Yeah, I want to know what is going to be your pre-race meal and your post-race meal.
Honestly, I'm the most boring person in the world to ask that question. Like, my pre-race meal will be, like, I'm vegan, right? So, depends on what's in the athlete's village, because that's where we go for dinner.
Hiya.
So I would imagine it's just a massive plate of rice and pasta and some veg. And that's pretty much it. And then, this is how boring Ricky Wynn is. That even my post-race meal, it won't be a whole bunch of different, man. Like, I'm not one for burgers and chips and stuff like that. I love a big, massive bowl of veg with rice and hot sauce, man. Like, here, I'll tell you, just before I go, I'll tell you, hot sauce goes hot on sauce. Everything.
All right.
And everything that hot sauce doesn't go on, peanut butter goes on it. That's it. And there's a 20-minute rule. There's a 20-minute rule in my house, and if it takes longer than 20 minutes, I'm not making it.
Yeah. You've retrieved it there, mate. Rice and veg wasn't like floating my boat, but I can agree with the hot sauce. Yeah.
Yeah, Nando's.
I just stick Nando's sriracha sauce on everything I do. And my wife goes,
Yeah,
that's nice. Yeah. So if I see, I expect a nice picture with you absolutely kind of distraught after that race, but with a bowl of hot sauce and rice. Right, mate. Thanks for that. It's been good chatting to you and spending an hour of your time when you're not busy right now, but I know what it's like waiting for a race to pop along. Go and do what you need to do and get hydrated and all that good stuff. So thanks for coming on, mate. Anyway. I'll be watching.
Cheers.
I'll be watching
the
weekend.
Thanks,
mate.
What's
tomorrow?
Appreciate
so see how you
it.
Do.
Yeah.
Oh, one last thing, Ricky. Where should we send people that want to follow you? Because I'm sure lots of people will now. Your Instagram,
send them,
right?
Their granny, mammy, and dog to my Instagram at RickyWin10. Yeah.
Ricky Wynn 10.
No, brilliant. 10 was my.
You were 10th in line on Instagram, were you? On the Wiki.
Yeah.
Ah, nice. Okay. At Ricky Wynn 10. And
thanks, mate.
It's
thanks,
a good account,
guys.
Mate. Keep it up. No worries.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.